2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say, play KSL News Radio.
Welcome to KSL at Night. I am your host tonight, Taylor Morgan of Morgan May Public Affairs. Here tonight with my co-host, Mara Carabello,
nice
managing partner, director, the boss head honcho at the Exoro Group.
Yeah, public policy firm. We're celebrating our 20th year this year in public policy. Wow.
I remember I worked for you there, 12, 13 years ago?
Was it that long ago?
It's been a bit, yeah.
We're getting older.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, for sure. Well, we have a great, great show lined up for you tonight. Mara, we're going to start off with what is a bit of a controversy in Utah politics. Trevor Lee. Did you see what Trevor Lee said? And how that was received?
I did. So this is about, I think it's House District 16, right?
Right. Yeah.
Our friends in Layton, in the area, and this is post convention when the incumbent did not get the 60% and in fact didn't qualify to be on the primary ballot.
Correct.
So that's Representative Steve Handy. He had a challenger named Trevor Lee. And since then, Trevor Lee has stated some pretty controversial statements.
He has. And Representative Steve Handy has since, with KSL, with reporter Lindsay Ertz earlier today, Representative Handy spoke very directly about Trevor Lee's language and, you know, stated a few other things that our listeners should know about Trevor Lee.
Yeah. So tonight we wanted to get both of them on the show if we could. We do have Representative Steve Handy on the line with us. So we're going to start this conversation with Steve Handy.
Yes. Representative Handy, welcome to the show.
Well, how are both of you? This isn't what I planned on doing today, Mara and Taylor, but I guess I'm doing it. But I also did a little work around Exoro.
Yes.
Mara knows that. And
yes.
So look what we have in common.
It's so true.
Amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
It's amazing.
So, Representative Handy, I got to get this out of the way right up front.
Do it.
Why didn't you get the signatures?
Well, I made a tactical mistake. I really did. I looked at this fellow, and it would cost me $8,500 to get them. And I looked at this fellow, and I thought, you know what, brand new here. You know, I can work the delegates. They know me. People mm-hmm. know me. It should be okay. Well, I made a tactical mistake. I really wish that I would have dug deep and done this, and we would have been in a primary, and that I would have been pretty confident about that. So. But I tell you what, I'll tell you what this one thing, I didn't mean to be the poster boy for this, but going forward, I just can't imagine that there will be ever again another Republican or Democrat. I mean, Senator Davis, Mara knows, got signatures,
right.
Or Democrat who with an inter-party who will never get signatures, who wants to really be viable. It will never happen again. And I didn't want to be the poster boy on this, but I guess I am.
Well, and I don't want to derail the conversation.
Yeah.
I just,
sure.
My background actually
sure.
with Count My Vote, and that's what Mara and
yeah.
I project
yeah.
we worked on years ago.
Right.
Sure, I know, and I knew that. I remembered that now, yes.
We need to fix the signature thresholds. That's a separate conversation.
It's too high. It's too high, and we can talk about that another time.
Great. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, let's go ahead. We have a clip of what Trevor Lee said. Trevor Lee, who defeated you at the Davis County Republican Convention, was a guest
yes, he did.
On the most recent episode of the Modern Conservative podcast with host John Harvey.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've heard this before, but let's play it now for our listeners and then get you to respond to it.
But Spencer Cox, I'm telling you, I have never seen a worse governor in my years of living. Now, he is one of the top 10 most popular governors in the country. Did you know that?
I didn't. In fact, that surprises me. I'd have to see where the poll is coming from.
52%. excuse me, 62%. Sorry, it was 62%.
Was that before or after he vetoed a bill for trees?
So there you go. That was from most communities, that's considered a slur word. And Representative, I think you had some thinking and some response since you heard that.
Yeah, I do have some response. My phones have been blowing up since the Brian Schott story of Friday. It has been nonstop since then. I'd like to get my weekend back. And hey, I didn't even say anything. It wasn't me, but people are angry. They're outraged. They are encouraging me to step up to this, to mount a write-in, and I'm strongly considering it because I think that the basis here that I want to make is that, words once spoken can never be taken back, particularly in this age of social media. They live forever and can be renewed and replayed and people reminded. You know, I want to say this too, and remember that this is your show, but, 99% of the people in this legislative district don't even know what's going on. They don't read the papers. We don't have newspapers anymore. They don't follow social media. Politically active people know what's going on, and it is an absolute firestorm. But they don't know what's going on. But for a write-in campaign that can be a high bar, they would need to know what has happened here, because words once spoken cannot be taken back.
So you're fired up, it sounds like. We know that ballots drop in about 30 days, and there would be a place for a write-in. Write-in campaigns are pretty challenging. Taylor grabbed the voter file right as we were going on the air, pulled up some back of the napkin. What we think is that you have about, give or take, 10,000 registered Republicans, and let's say 60% of them show up, which would actually be a pretty hearty primary. And so it would stand to reason that 3,000 people might get someone across the finish line there. It seems like it's a decision you're probably going to have to make rather quickly.
Let me clarify. Mr. Trevor Lee is not on the ballot. He's only on the ballot in November. This would be for the general election.
Oh, thank you.
Not for the primary.
Oh, that's right. Because there's a Libertarian challenger in that race.
There you go.
There you go. So there's no, that's right. There's no primary because he made it out of convention with no primary. Good clarification, yeah. Representative. So it would be.
It sounds like you are seriously considering a writing campaign. You have thought about this.
Well, since the day after the convention, there's been a groundswell, and it's just been rumbling there. And my wife and I have, thought about it and tried to distance ourselves from a very bad experience. I mean, look, he didn't do anything wrong. He won. Okay, he didn't do anything wrong. It's no sour grapes. I'm not going there. But what do you do about it when you have a person who has no relationships, has no prior experience? And so I'm just been going along living my life, and then this blows up, and but now more seriously thinking about the fall right in. That's what it'd be. But there's time to consider. But you said, Mara, write-ins are, there's a high bar. There's a high bar, and that's what has to be considered. Yeah. It'd be very expensive, and it'd likely be pretty nasty.
So not to make it too light, but we did do some research for you, Representative. There was last year, 2021, there was a woman named Molly Halderman who won a write-in vote to become Parowan City Mayor, and she actually won this election. So for those of you listening who are saying, do write-ins work? Just last year in the state of Utah, the Parowan mayor. Now, we did in our research find out that she used the tagline, good golly, write-in Molly. So we do think you need a rhyme with handy.
Here we go. Let's write this down.
And that could be an easy one.
He's dandy, write-in handy.
I'll hear Xoro to figure it out.
There you go.
Yep. I think Taylor's got it.
He's dandy, right in handy. I'm going to go ahead and send you an invoice for that.
There you go.
Well, we do need to get to, we want to make sure you have a chance to perhaps clarify something that you said earlier today with Lindsey Ertz on KSL. In reference to Trevor Lee's, the slur that he used. And here's a clip of that, and then we'll ask for your clarification.
It smacks of not only the transphobia things, but a little bit of racism maybe in there. And it comes off to me as almost white supremacy.
Now, Representative, can you perhaps clarify what you meant when you tied the slur that he used, referring to, you know, it was clearly transphobic. What was your meaning tying that into white nationalism and racism? Just to clarify that.
Well, if you listen to the rest of the podcast, I mean, that's what I was referring to. There's this kind of threads of stuff in there of really extreme views, you know. And you know, if he comes on, he'll say that's not the case. But okay,
sure.
Okay, but that's
important context. That's important context that I think needs to be a part of the story, that we need to make sure that you know, our listeners and that folks understand you know, the context in which he used this one slur. It was part of a broader conversation on the Modern Conservative Podcast. Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. We will look forward to future conversations with you about your decision making, and thank you for your public service.
I'll bet we'll have further conversations. So thanks
for sure.
Thank you.
Next segment, we're going to stay with this topic a little longer, broaden it out. So stay tuned with us on KSL at Night.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL at Night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. Tonight you have Mara Carabello joined by Taylor Morgan, and we are starting the show with a hot topic in the last couple of weeks, and it is a house race up north for us in the Layton area, and it's Trevor Lee, who defeated the incumbent Steve Handy in primary. So he hasn't won the election, but he came out of the Republican primary clean. And Taylor, I think in this section we want to talk a little, give Taylor Lee some time, and then maybe talk
Trevor,
about or Trevor
Lee.
Sorry, Trevor Lee.
You'll understand want to make sure.
Yes, Trevor Lee. Some and then maybe talk a little bit about the dynamics we're seeing. And in order to give Trevor Lee some of his space, we called him. He had a conflict tonight and wasn't able to join us. And in fairness to him, I think he's also feeling a little frustration with the media wanting to replay this and maybe feeling like there's not balance and fairness to his point of view. So I wanted to read what he posted in response to the Tribune article about the use of the slur tranny. He said, "Let me be clear. I take ownership of what I said and the word I used. Honestly, I had no clue it was so disparaging. It's a word I've heard used in pop culture my whole life. But that's no excuse, and now I know it's something others feel strongly about. I've erased it from my vocabulary. It's gone. We hear and read all the time about, quote, teachable moments. I'm hoping we can make this one of those. I'm removing that word from my vocab. I will not use it again. And now I'm going to ask a huge favor of those who feel wronged by my actions. Would you please take these words out of your vocabulary when referring to me and other passionate conservatives? The words he asks us to consider are Nazi, extremist, fascist, and insurrectionist. Those words are as troubling and offensive to us as the words I used that hurt and angered you." The statement goes on. If you want to see it, it's on Trevor Lee's Facebook post. And so those are the words that Trevor Lee, I'm going to just let those stand as they are written. And you can decide if this statement helps you, if this is a candidate that reflects where you're coming from and your values. And then, Taylor, that's where I want us to pivot a little bit. About, you know, we're seeing a reoccurrence. I'm going to take us back to the Tea Party days, in which a subset of the larger Republicans came out with a really strong agenda. Are we seeing, this is not Tea Party, but are we seeing a reoccurrence of a moderate Republican and sort of a very conservative right Republican?
I think so. And I think that, you know, we talked with Representative Steve Handy, and, you know, he's a very well-known, I think, right, generally well-respected incumbent, seen as a moderate, I would say, right of center, right, which in Utah is conservative.
Right, right. He's a mainstream conservative.
Mainstream Utah Republican conservative. And I absolutely do think that this is – what we're seeing, though, I think this cycle in the Republican Party here in Utah is the more radical or further right – fringe in the party is being motivated by a few driving issues. I think the recurring theme of fraud in the 2020 election, which Donald Trump lost, that is a driving theme. The Secure Vote Utah initiative failed resoundingly because they only collected a small, tiny portion of the required signatures. But that group mobilized to become delegates. Mm-hmm. So they are driving the nomination process. Also, HB 11.
Right.
It is also having an outsized influence in the Republican nomination process.
And HB 11 was not allowing trans girls to participate in sports.
Right. This is the bill that the Governor Cox
right,
vetoed,
right,
and the legislature overrode the veto.
Right.
Yeah. So these are the key issues that are driving Republican politics at the convention level right now.
Yeah.
Very different than the issues that the general electorate and
about.
Most Republicans care about.
So, you know, I mean, Taylor, you and I don't always agree, but this is probably a big overlap for us is allowing people to get on the ballot without going through convention.
Right.
Many of us believe that convention delegates do their time, they're smart, they're thoughtful, but they're often hyperactivists, and they
yes,
don't necessarily represent generally held views of the party that they represent.
That's exactly right.
And so one of the things I was really heartened by this year is how many primary elections we have. I think that Count My Vote and SB 54, the fruits of that are showing in that this is a really primary heavy year.
Yeah.
And in part due, as you well asked, Steve Handy, in part due by more moderate candidates who signature gathered. And so therefore, they will be available for voters to think about and consider in their primary ballots.
Right. And we see this pattern over the course of history in the Republican Party since 2014 when the dual path to the primary became available. And that is that oftentimes the incumbent will lose in a convention.
That's right.
Right. Or we'll see, for example, a more moderate mainstream candidate who has broad appeal to all voters in their party.
Right. Famously, most of our governors have been booed at Republican conventions.
Let's not forget, we had Governor Gary Herbert lose at convention, but then win the Republican primary against Jonathan Johnson by 73-74%.
Right.
Mitt Romney, John Curtis. This, we see this pattern over and over. So I would think it's a safe bet that Trevor Lee, his views only represent a small, perhaps more extreme portion of Republican voters in House District 16.
Right.
That's why I believe it's important to have primary elections and give everyone in the party a chance to choose their nominees, whether it's Republican Party, Democratic Party. Well, let me come back. I want to come back really quickly if I can. We'll tie this up in a minute here. I want to talk about Trevor Lee's statement.
Okay.
So for me personally, he started off strong because I can really empathize with this notion that, hey, that was a blind spot for me. I wasn't aware. This is a teachable moment. I learned something. I won't say it again. I can appreciate it because I, growing up in Utah as a generally conservative, white, LDS male, I have a lot of blind spots and I am learning and I have teachable moments and I'm trying to do better. Here's the difference, though. I didn't hear an apology.
Right.
He did not apologize. Instead, he tried to, go to this reverse discrimination message, right?
Right. I mean, he also used a word that he's apologizing for, but in the sentence structure, either way, he used it as a pejorative.
Yes.
So even if he had used a full proper title, he was still indicting those people.
Correct.
Or anyone different than him. And I don't want to hold, I do not believe that bias is a condition of a Republican. And I want to be clear that it is conservatives are not biased and Republican, you know, Republicans are not biased. I think that is a personal choice. And so I agree with you, but I think learning and teachable is important. But there's that old adage that says, you know, I can't hear what you're saying because I can see what you're doing. And so I would just encourage those conservative friends that I have to really push back on the name calling and the extremism that unfortunately I'm hearing more from the right now.
Right. And I hope that all of us can provide a safe space in which we can all acknowledge that we need to do better and learn better, and we can learn from each other. So coming up next, we're going to talk about the current state of refugees in Utah. Will we have refugees coming from Ukraine? What other refugees in Utah are in need of our assistance, and what can we do? Coming up next, stay with us.